We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones and Michael Palin in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you just heard, we welcome for the first time to play the game with our three regular competitors. We welcome Michael Palin. As usual, they're going to try to speak for 60 seconds on some subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, or without deviating from the subject on the card. We'll begin the show this week with Peter Jones. Peter, the subject is a spree. Can you talk about that in just a minute, starting now?
What a marvellous old Edwardian word. I visualise an evening out, starting in the Strand at the Gaiety Theatre and then going on to Romano's for champagne and oysters and then perhaps Leicester Square to the Empire, where those great stars of the past were in shining lights and appearing on the stage night.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Those stars in shining lights. I mean, how can you be a star in shining lights appearing on a stage?
Yes, technically it was deviating from the accurate speech. So, Clement, you have a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject of a spree. There are 41 seconds left, and you start now.
It was dawn in the South Atlantic in 1941 when the Tirpitz slowly...
Peter Jones is challenged.
What a boring thing to say. I mean, it was dawn 365 times in that year, in the South Atlantic and everywhere else.
I would hardly have thought the story of the Tirpitz was a spree, and he hadn't got to...
No, he's going to go on about the Graf Spee, is he? You see, it's quite obvious.
I never thought of that! It's brilliant!
Well, I don't think he got there quick enough, whatever he was going to go on to, so I'm going to allow Peter's challenge and tell him he has a point for that. He takes back the subject with 33 seconds left, starting now.
And Murray Lloyd, with any luck, would be singing one of those wonderful songs like I Sits Among Me Cabbages and Peas and things like that. And those other great people who were also...
Clement Freud.
Repetition of great.
Yes, correct. 20 seconds left, Clement, and you have a spree back with you now, starting now.
Perhaps the most essential element in any spree.
Michael Palin is
challenging. Sorry, I was just testing my buzzer. Sorry. First time. I do apologize. I won't do it again.
Oh, my God.
Sorry,
Clement keeps the subject. Well, he doesn't keep it. He didn't ever lose it. There are 17 seconds, Clement, left for a spree starting now.
Is alcohol and cheese straws, particularly the latter, wine, red, white, or pink... Champagne, Burgundy, Bordeaux, high-gravity beer. If you wanted to have a spree on Just a Minute, you could test your buzzer while someone else is talking.
And Clare Williams has challenged.
Well, it is deviation, really. There's nothing to do. Pressing your buzzers on Just a Minute has nothing to do with this spree.
I would agree.
It's whatever turns you on.
No, don't come it. Don't try that on with me, dearie. Oh, no.
Kenneth, you have the subject and you only have 2 seconds left. You've got in just before the whistle and it's the spree. You start now.
You have it with tinkers and tailors and soldiers and sailors all out for a bit of a spree when you find that you're out of the trouble. I won that one.
Well, as you probably know...
I'm speaking when the whistle blows, so that means I'm in the front, doesn't it?
No, you're not.
Well, who is?
Clement Freud. He's got a lot of points. Well, he's got a lot of points for the first round. He's got 3, actually, at the end of the first round. And Kenneth, you've got 2, so you're in second place. Peter's got 1. Michael has spoken quite a lot, but he hasn't got any points yet. Let's go on to the second round. Clement, will you begin it, please? The subject is entomophobia. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Entomophobia is presumably a fear of insects, or possibly being frightened of
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, after the insects, there was a hesitation, and there are 54 seconds left, and you have entomophobia, Peter, starting now.
My advice to anybody who suffers from this is to make friends with a daddy long legs and give it a saucer of milk every day and try and keep it away from the light because its wings are apt to be singed, let alone...
Kenneth Williams.
Well, I really can't let this go on because, I mean, he said you give it this milk and you couldn't give it the milk, dear, because it doesn't drink it. What are you talking about?
But you can still give it a saucer of milk, whether it drinks it or not. He wasn't technically deviating from the subject on the card.
Mm. It could always tread in the milk or swim.
Yes, and you might swim. Have a bath in the milk if it wanted to.
People give me lumpfish, Rowan.
You're not
going
to tell me you're going to go about giving saucers of milk to spiders. The price of milk these days.
Spiders.
Deviations.
I think in these hard times we've all got to find, you know, simple little ways of enjoying ourselves. Peter's way is to give saucers of milk to Daddy Longlegs.
It don't have to go on very long. Their lifespan's only about 3 days. So who's counting the cost of the milk, for goodness sake?
Well, anyway, we'll continue with the show. Entomophobia is with Peter Jones. He's got another point. There are 34 seconds left, and he starts now.
They are very fragile creatures indeed, and it's vitally important that you should never crush them or let them bang themselves too hard against window, ceiling, or
Clement
floor.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation, he's not talking about entomophobia. He's talking about
entomology. No, I quite agree. He's just talking about his daddy long legs.
How to cure it, which, of course, is vitally important to the listeners.
I would say quite the reverse. It sounds like someone who really adores daddy long legs, which isn't entomophobia. So, Clement, you have 22 seconds for entomophobia starting now.
I know a woman who is absolutely terrified of ants whenever one comes along, whether red or white. She covers her face with a sheet and locks herself in a closet in which there are, unfortunately, spiders, daddy long legs, and a number of other insects which get the...
Michael Palin has challenged.
Hesitation? Possibly?
Possibly.
I'm sorry, weakening my case there. Hesitation, definitely.
Well, no, absolutely. Not definitely, no. 5 seconds still, Clemmer, for entomophobia starting now.
One of the best annual outings is that of the Entomophobiostical Society.
Well, I certainly would have challenged the Entomophobiosity Society.
I nearly buzzed myself.
I know. You could have done it 1 second ago. You'd have got 3 points in one burst. But you're still in the lead, Clement. We're now going to hear from Michael Palin. We've heard from him, but we're now going to hear him talk on a subject. And I cannot imagine why, but MS is sort of the subject of pythons. So, Michael, do you think you can talk about that in just a minute, starting now?
Pythons are long, sleek, slimy, dirty-tongued little creatures, rather big creatures, actually, that live in the Amazon jungle. I personally find pythons quite distasteful, almost as bad as vipers, which we had a plague on a holiday recently in Italy. They came out of the tap, slid down the bath, over the lavatory seat, and a gardener who lived nearby was called in to dispose of the viper. If I came across a python in my bedroom, I should probably get into the cupboard, douse myself totally in paraffin, which apparently pythons detest and loathe, march out of the receptacle in which I was sitting, go over to the window, leap out into a large vat of lard. The lard and the paraffin together make the python writhe.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, he's repeated so many things many times, and paraffin was as much as I could take. And in any case, I didn't want to get in earlier because I've got very little to say about pythons myself.
When he got in the lard, you thought you'd try and rescue him.
Yes.
Right. All right, Peter. You've got him magnificently with only 3 seconds to go on pythons, starting now.
I think that there's a type of comedian, and that they appear...
Kenneth Williams has challenged. Well, yes, it was a stumble, which we'll call a hesitation. So you've got him with half a second to go on pythons, Kenneth, starting now.
And those gorgeous looking...
So Kenneth was then speaking when the whistle went. He's got that extra point, and he's moving forward. Peter, your turn to begin. The subject is legs. Can you tell us something about legs in just a minute, starting now?
Well, legs are a marvellous way of keeping the feet attached to the main part of the body.
Did you buzz then, Michael? What was your challenge?
Hesitation.
Rubbish.
No, rubbish.
Hesitate at all. No, I didn't hesitate. Yes.
I didn't see his lips move for a minute, you see, so I thought I'd get it.
You weren't listening. Mm.
There are 55 seconds left for legs, Peter, starting now.
They're invaluable to the stage performer, of course, and I've insured my own.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of course.
Yes, 50 seconds are left for legs with you, Clement, starting now.
I was once asked what the average number of legs per human being was, and was astonished to find that it was less than 2. This is the sort of information without which no one should feel secure, let alone go to a party or make a speech at a school dinner, an after breakfast, oracle, such...
Kenneth Williams is challenged.
I was ready to...
I
was ready
to... We'd left the legs, haven't we? We've got to parties.
I think he's gone all... Oh, yes, he was running down into oracles and coracles and all kinds of things. Kenneth, you have a legitimate challenge for a point, and you have 22 seconds to talk about legs, starting now.
What a contrast between the legs when you see the film of the racecourse and the thoroughbred, and think then of the legs of a shire horse with those manes of hair all spread about the feet, you see. Now you notice this difference and you say, how incredible! Almost Hebrew.
Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject is ravioli. Would you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
When I was appointed public relations officer to the Spaghetti House chain, one of the first things, apart from getting my customers into the newspaper as often as possible, which I think I did very well, was to study the composure of ravioli. And this is a pasta which can contain...
Clarence Williams.
Deviation. It would be the composition, not composure.
No. Oh, no.
How can ravioli be composed or discomposed?
They can smile, they can
smile?
Be...
Smile? Ravioli, smile? You have seen ravioli smile?
Get of rubbish.
Get it. There are 40 seconds left on ravioli, starting now.
This I tasted first on the rooftop of that incredible palace which once was the home of one of the doges, the Danielli in Venice. This taste was rather succulent, but on the other hand, you see, I'm not keen on anything which is starch-based. So I said to this bloke, I don't really want this, I just want this soup or something, a bit of asparagus, something which is more protein, like green, see? So he said, no, it's very good stuff. And I said, I don't really like it, you know. It's all right, I mean, if you were really starving, of course you'd eat and play.
And Michael Palin has challenged.
Repetition of I mean.
Yes, I mean to say, yes. Well done, Michael, you have a correct challenge. I mean, he was listening, wasn't he? And there are 13 seconds on ravioli with you, Michael, starting now.
I once visited a ravioli factory in the Preston area of northern Lancashire. I was shown round by the manager of the factory, a tall man with a slight...
Clement Freud.
It's two factories.
There were two factories you were...
Oh, it was a double factory.
There were two. I was referring to the other one, sorry.
I know, but it doesn't matter in just a minute, I'm afraid. There are 5 seconds for ravioli with you, Clement, starting now.
Spinach is one of the lesser-known fillings for ravioli, but nevertheless...
Ooh! Ravioli has helped Clement increase his lead at the end of that round. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Andrew Jackson. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I don't know an awful lot about him, except that he was a major general and did defeat in the war against the British, which was, of course, that incredible year, 1812. Let it be engraved upon your memory, apropos Andrew Jackson. A most incredible victory he scored on that period. In that...
Clement.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, everybody. You see what happens in this game. If you slip up, it's best to keep going and at all costs. And, Clement, you have the subject of Andrew Jackson. There are 36 seconds left, starting now.
Andrew Jackson came vastly into the news some years ago at the time of Watergate because he was the only other president of the United States...
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
Deviation. Andrew Jackson did not come into the news. The memory of him might have done, but as he'd been dead for so long, he couldn't have come into any news.
You die and see whether you don't.
How guilty is a jest?
There are 27 seconds left for Andrew Jackson with you, Kenneth, starting now.
And thereafter he moved on to greater things, elected to the Senate and eventually President of the United States. He made a most incredible statement.
Clement Freud.
It's the second incredible.
Yes, he was...
Oh, what a shame.
15 seconds with you, Clement, on Andrew Jackson, starting now.
Impeachment, as many people will realise, is particularly rare in the United States, but...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of United States.
No, he said Watergate earlier on. Mm. So, I'm sorry, it's a wrong challenge, Peter. There are 9.5 seconds left for Andrew Jackson Clement starting now.
And when the Senate voted on Andrew Jackson's suitability to remain in the high office which he held in that transatlantic country...
Over the subject of Andrew Jackson, Clement Freud has once again increased his lead. Michael Palin, we're back with you. We'd like you to start the next subject, and it is establishment. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
The establishment comes to my mind as the name of a club in Greek Street which gave birth to great performers such as Peter Cook, Dudley Moore, my friend Ian...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
No, it didn't give birth to Dudley Moore or Peter Cook. And they were very well known long before they appeared there.
Clement Freud has just reminded me that they actually worked for him before they went to the establishment, but as he didn't really achieve anything, that is Michael Clement Freud's...
Can I remind you that you worked for me as well?
I know I did. You never let me forget it. I think that they really came to the to be known through the establishment, and so I agree with Michael, and he has 52 seconds left to talk about the establishment starting now.
I remember going to the establishment club one night. Paying a certain amount at the door, I was shown into a seat four rows back on the left, from which I couldn't see one corner of the stage. At this corner of the stage was sitting William Rushton, and at a certain moment, when he came out with a line, which I forget at this moment, a large man behind me eating a sandwich coughed loudly. Pieces of ham flew past me onto the stage. Rushton, who was crossing the stage at the time, slipped, fell backwards into the arms of, I think, then Diana Ross, making her only appearance at the place at the time. She fell backwards off her... Stop, dried up.
Michael Palin, you've challenged yourself.
Yes, I dried up.
For hesitation?
Hesitation.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah. So,
thank you.
A very good and keen challenge. You spotted it so quickly. Marvelous. So you have a point for that, and you keep going. There are 14 seconds left for the establishment, starting now.
The name establishment was presumably chosen because the nature of the club was to take digs at the establishment, bishops, judges, and all the panoply of authority in this country today. This was done in several ways.
Clement Freud, a challenge.
It wasn't today, it was 20 years ago.
Oh, very good.
He's so honest, isn't he? That was Michael Palin saying how very good.
Wonderful.
You're agreeing with me. You get another point for that. There are 2 seconds left for you to continue on the establishment starting now.
One of the great figures of the establishment...
Michael Palin started with the subject of the establishment, and against all opposition, he finished with it and got a lot of points in that round, and he's still in fourth place.
Thank you. Wonderful quizmaster, Nicholas. Wonderful.
Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. The subject is plots. Can you talk about that in just a minute, starting now?
As far as I remember, there are 27, or is it 30? I forget. But they...
Kenneth Williams has chanted.
Hesitation. He said, but...
I didn't hear the did you? Yes. What an audience you are. Kenneth, you have 55 seconds on plots starting now.
There were 24 plots which belonged to my school when it was evacuated to Bicester in Oxfordshire, and the headmaster said, to you will fall the honour of owning the first, which will show if we can, in this rural community, emulate their own particular skills at planting and raising flower vegetables. My aider and abettor in the scheme was the redoubtable vet, Mr. Chisholm, and he said to me, your test will be the straw round strawberries. These will protect them from the rigours of the climate, and if you get a luscious crop, you will easily win the trophy. Oh, the adrenaline flew through my veins. I became... What's the matter?
Michael Palin is
shouting. What's the matter with you?
I'm sorry. It was lovely. I was enjoying it so much.
But I know this.
You rotter, I didn't whack you up with your panoply and your bishops and stuff.
Oh.
What's your challenge, Michael?
Well, I felt he was deviating.
Why?
Talking more about strawberries and growing of strawberries, which I was fascinated by, but nothing to do with the plot.
It's the plot of ground I was given to grow the things on. What else am I to talk about?
Well, it's a difficult one. You were on to more about strawberries than plots, but...
Well, you have to have one to grow the things on, you great fool! I was underway, wasn't I? You could feel it, it was flowing, and now it's all ruined.
It's battered, it's still flowing like mad! I think before he dries up, we'll let him carry on. You have five...
Rotten old bits of tatters I'm in now.
Kenneth, while it's still with you, and the adrenaline's there, 5 seconds on plots...
I've lost it. It's gone.
Clem, Michael Palin, you challenged. Hesitation?
Yes.
Right, you have 5 seconds. 4 seconds on plots, starting now.
One of the most...
Clement Freud is challenged.
Hesitation.
Yeah. Ah!
Purely 2 seconds. Digestion. Momentary...
Two seconds on plots, Clement, starting now.
If you...
Michael Palin, you challenged.
Hesitation,
absolutely. Michael, you have 1 second on plots starting now.
In the 18th century, the...
Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is red plastic garden gnomes. Can you talk about some of those charming little horrors in just a minute, starting now?
One of the less productive crops that you can grow on a plot is red plastic garden gnomes. You can try to get a small red plastic garden gnome, water him daily, and see whether he will not get bigger, fatter, or possibly more hirsute. The likelihood is that he will remain exactly the small red garden plastic gnome that you had at the beginning. So they are then sold and put in front of houses in order to show passers-by what kind of people live therein. Cottages, mansions, even council flats have...
Michael Palin.
A hesitation.
Yes, I think you were right. After the council flat, he wasn't sure with the gnome there. There are 20 seconds left for the red plastic garden gnomes with you, Michael, starting now.
Red plastic garden gnomes.
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
No. Hardly got going. 19.5 seconds on red plastic garden gnomes, Michael, starting now.
Red plastic garden gnomes do make a very attractive addition to any herbaceous border, but in my opinion, they suffer from the weather, whereas red plastic garden gnomes made out of a steel base and only coated in plastic do, in fact...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of plastic.
Well, plastic's on the card. You know,
ah,
we can repeat
caught
this.
You out.
Out of context, though. I thought he had to repeat the whole thing, you see.
Michael's got another point, and he's got 5 seconds left on red plastic garden gnomes starting now.
Red plastic garden gnomes with the steel base will not be...
Peter Jones a challenge.
Repetition of steel.
Yes, he did repeat that, and there are 2 seconds...
Well, that was ages ago.
It doesn't matter how long ago. This is the problem I have, to try and remember what everybody said so I can judge whether it's correct or not. Peter Jones, 2 seconds on the red plastic garden gnomes starting now.
Well, unlike conservative plastic garden gnomes...
I'm afraid we have no more time to play just a minute, so before we close, let me give you the final score. Very interesting and very close it was. Peter Jones finished in fourth place behind Kenneth Williams, who did very well. And Michael Palin, who lagged for quite a while, suddenly had that burst of energy, the adrenaline he was throwing, and he surged forward. But he never quite caught up on our leader, who is this week's winner, once again, Clement Freud. Well, we hope you've enjoyed listening to Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Lloyd.